If only you could hear what we said in between all of these batches, you'd be kind of rolling around on the floor and wouldn't be able to get up again. It's batch number two. It's Tim with you here, and I am joined to read for us this week from Uta and Kath. Almost called you Liz then. We're in batch two of local news and features, and this time round we'll have Kath, who does the headlines first.
Okay.
Off you go.
Stoke-on-Trent perverts facing chemical castration in prison, and Stokey schoolgirl Frankie scales mountain for poorly people like Nanny.
And Uta's headlines are?
It's about the fitness centre and some council will take away the car park space. And of course they are not happy about it. And then we have the new political party in Stoke-on-Trent with one Labour defection already.
I can't wait to hear about that, because you could hardly contain your enthusiasm. So over to Kath now for the first story in batch number two.
Okay. Stoke-on-Trent perverts facing chemical castration in prison. Chemical suppressants for sexual offenders will be trialled in northwest and northeast England as part of efforts to cut reoffending. The government has pledged to widen the existing pilot in four prisons in the southwest to 20 prisons following recommendations from the Independent Sentencing Review to explore its use in May. The medication limits problematic sexual arousal and restrains offenders who would be a risk to the public. Speaking at the start of a debate on the second reading of the sentencing bill, the Lord Chancellor David Lammy told MPs a trial in northwest England had been positive. Mr. Lammy added, "While the evidence base is limited, it is positive, and for that reason, we will roll the approach out nationwide, starting with two new regions, the northwest and northeast, covering up to 20 prisons. The expansion means around 6,400 sex offenders will be able to access medication alongside psychological treatment to help change their behaviour and crack down on crimes such as rape, grooming and assault. It comes as part of the sentencing bill, which is seeking to introduce reforms proposed from the sentencing review, led by former Justice Secretary David Gawk, to tackle jail overcrowding in the long term. It also looked at ways to cut reoffending, with one proposal to consider further use of chemical suppressants. Problematic sexual arousal can be reduced by chemical suppressants and prescribed medications, but the review highlighted the treatment would not be relevant for some sex offenders, such as rapists driven by power and control, rather than sexual preoccupation. In a statement, Mr. Lammy added, "Evidence shows that this medication helps suppress urges, which is why we're expanding access to it. This is part of our comprehensive approach to managing dangerous offenders and preventing reoffending. Make no mistake, those who commit serious crimes will face the full force of the law, but alongside prison, we have a duty to use every method available to rehabilitate offenders and protect the public as part of our plan for change." MPs voted 340-77, majority 263, to pass the bill at second reading. During the debate, Reform MP Sarah Poachin was accused of misconstruing the bill after she claimed it continues to facilitate the special treatment of defendants according to their racial, cultural or religious identity. The Runcorn and Helsby MP had added, "This bill does nothing to defend our democracy and end the era of two-tier justice in this country, where free speech is a crime punishable by a more severe sentence than sexual assaults or paedophilia." Independent MP John McDonnell, Hayes and Harlington said it would be worth her while to sit down with the ministers, just take her through some of the detail of the bill, because I genuinely think there's elements there that she's completely misconstrued, and I say that not in any party knockabout way, I just think it's worthwhile. A Conservative amendment to halt the progress of the bill, because it will lead to an increase of dangerous criminals on our streets, was rejected by 78 votes to 292, with a majority of 214.
Okay, so over to Uta now.
Okay. It's the fitness centre warning, and it warns council plan will take away our livelihoods. Councillors have approved the £1.5 million plans to build enterprise units on a car park, despite fears the scheme could harm existing businesses. Newcastle Borough Council will use part of Kidsgrove's town deal funding to redevelop the public car park on Meadows Road with three small business units. Council bosses say the scheme will boost the local economy by providing purpose-built space for small businesses. But objectors, including the owners of existing nearby businesses, say the plans will have the opposite effect by effectively taking parking away from customers. While the reconfigured car park would still provide 18 spaces, there are concerns that the new units will increase demand for parking in the area. But members of the Borough Council's planning committee voted to approve the application in line with their officer's recommendation. Josephine McLean, who runs the fitness club just next to the car park site, explained that there had not been enough consultation with local businesses. She told the committee that there was already a shortage of parking in the area. Ms. McLean said, "This proposal will take away essential parking. We are underserviced anyway, and it will take away our livelihoods. It will affect the local community. We serve the local community with health and fitness, including the elderly. If they can't park, they won't be able to come to us. I have to question what the rationale is and how they feel that it won't affect businesses. The high street is dying in Kidsgrove, so the money would be better spent renovating what's already there. Why do we need three enterprise units? Each of the units would provide 27 square meters of floor space, along with a kitchenette, storeroom and toilet. Planning permission was previously granted for a shared services hub on the site, but the Borough Council scrapped this scheme after partner organizations pulled out. The committee heard that the new plans would provide the same number of parking spaces as the permitted scheme. Planning officer Tom Cannon also explained that the new units would complement existing town centre businesses. He said, "It was determined that this type of unit would provide an alternative use for the site that would provide a different offer to the town centre, because you're looking at enterprise units, not main town centre uses. It was felt that by department of the council that there was demand for that type of unit and that it would complement the town centre and that the two would work together. The existing car park is free with a two-hour time limit, but Kidsgrove councillor Gillian Burnett Faulkner told the committee that there is no enforcement. She said, "There's a sign and it says it's 2 hours parking. Nobody polices it, and people parking there instead of at the railway station, and they are there all day, every day. So it would assume, or I would assume, that it would they will still park there if it's going to be the same sort of car park." Councillor David Hutchinson suggested that workers at the new units could end up hogging most of the parking spaces. He said, "Those three new units, if they have 4 or 5 employees each, you could probably have most of the spaces taken by the people working there, and nobody else is going to get a look in because they'll probably arrive early for work." But Councillor Mark Holland proposed approval on the basis that the enterprise units would take up less of the car park than the previously permitted scheme. A majority of the committee members voted to approve the plans. Over to you, Kath.
Okay. Stokey schoolgirl Frankie, age 6, scales mountain for poorly people like Nanny. A 6-year-old schoolgirl has raised an incredible £5,100 for Dougie Mac after climbing Mount Snowdon in memory of her Nan. Little Frankie Griffin from Stoke-on-Trent decided to take on the Mammoth Challenge for the Blurton-based hospice after they cared for her Nan, Karen Griffin. She passed away in July last year, following a brave battle with cancer. Frankie wanted to raise money for Dougie Mac after telling her dad, Nick, that she needed to help poorly people like Nanny, who was Nick's mum. Nick said, Frankie loves walking and has already climbed and walked the local hills and points of interest in the Peak District, so we decided to take her to Snowdon, as Frankie knows that Wales was once one of her nanny's favourite places and also one of the last places her nanny visited. Frankie and Nick, along with relatives and staff from Griffins of Stone, a butcher's shop that is owned by Nick, all completed the gruelling climb to the summit in 5.5 hours, a year on from the day of Karen's passing. Nick said, "Mum was diagnosed with small cell cancer in the lungs and some cancer on her collarbone in October 2023. After 2 rounds of chemotherapy and immune therapy, we were told in March 2024 the treatment wasn't working, and so heartbreakingly it was stopped. As a family, we were told to make Mum as comfortable as possible, and it was a matter of time. Dougie Mac arranged home visits, and the nurses that came out to her and the advice they offered was superb. No question was too silly, and they always seemed to say the right thing. Since Mum's passing on July the 10th, 2024, I decided to reach out and talk to the counsellors at Dougie Mac, and what a difference that has made to me. I cannot say thank you enough." During their walk up Snowdon, Frankie and the team, who left at 6 a.m, endured temperatures of 32 degrees C. Nick said, "Frankie was amazing and led the team of eight. It was hard going, but it was a real team effort and so many memories were made. We also took Mum with us and had a photo under some rocks with a view that was worth the walk. I couldn't be prouder of my six-year-old little girl, and thank you to everyone who donated to such a great cause, friends, family and customers at the shop. Frankie, who received a medal and certificate from Dougie Mac for her achievements, said it was good to walk all the way to the top, but it was hard coming back down."
Okay, so over to Uta now, who's going to do the final story for us in batch number two.
There's a new political party in Stoke-on-Trent. Yes, a new political party has been launched to represent North Staffordshire residents, and it already has its first councillor. The Potteries Party was founded by three former Labour members who left the party feeling that it was letting local people down and not listening to their concerns. Party leader Andy Paulshaw, James Bradbury and Paul Shipston say their party will be run by and for the residents of North Staffordshire, and they are aiming to field candidates in future elections in the area. They already have their first elected member, with Stoke-on-Trent City Councillor David Mountford, announced on September the 11th. That he had left Labour and joined the Potteries Party. Mr. Paulshaw, who stood as an independent candidate for Stoke-on-Trent Central in last year's general election, says the party stands for inclusivity, local representation and public advocacy. But he insists that beyond those core principles, the party's policies and direction will be driven by its local supporters. Mr. Paulshaw said, "As a party, we are going to be guided by what residents want. We will take ideas from the left, right or wherever, as long as they align with our core principles, such as inclusivity. We are different to Reform UK because we believe in inclusivity. We want to represent everybody who lives and works in North Staffordshire. It doesn't matter where they come from. We are also local and we don't have to answer to a national party. We are called the Potteries Party, but we represent the whole of North Staffordshire, and we just felt the name Potteries Party rolled off the tongue. The party's three founding members were active members of the Labour Party in Stoke-on-Trent, but left following an internal row relating to the way Stoke-on-Trent Central candidate Gareth Snell, now MP, was selected." Mr. Paulshaw said, "I joined the Labour Party in 2015 and we remained members after Keir Starmer became leader. But we became unhappy with the top-down way the party was being run. It seemed that the National Party could get away with breaking their own rules. Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire have seen various local political groups come and go over the years. The City Independents were one of the most successful, gaining 14 seats on Stoke-on-Trent City Council in the 2015 local elections and subsequently forming a ruling coalition with the Conservatives, with the group leader Dave Convey becoming council leader. But the group lost seats in the 2019 elections and was reduced to a single elected member in 2023 as Labour swung back into power. Councillor Mountford, who was elected as a Labour councillor for the Great Shell and Packmore in 2023, believes that voters in Stoke-on-Trent want a local party that will listen to them. He said, "I think there is a hunger for more collaborative approach for politics, rather than the he said, she said you get with Labour and Conservatives always blaming each other. We want to listen to what residents want and create a platform for them, rather than being a party that tells people what they should want." The Potteries Party, which is planning to field candidates in future elections in North Staffordshire, is organising a social gathering for supporters and residents at the Glebe Inn in Stoke on Sunday, well, the September the 21st, that has passed now, I'm sorry to say, at 7 p.m. The event will feature food, live music and speeches, and you will probably can read a report about it.
I'm sure it was very nice. So keep listening. We've got more stories for you coming up with Uta and Kath in batch number 3.